in my everyday today. Okay. All right, we're good. I'll do like a cheesy intro that I think of on the spot. Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to another episode. And my guest joining me today, she is a returning guest of mine. Brooke, how are we doing?
Hi, I'm doing well.
I'm doing great. I obviously told you that, you know, I wanted to do another one of these because, believe it or not, for those that do know, over 3 years ago was Brooke's and mine's original chat. And I did enjoy it. But as you know, I've taken like a vastly different approach with a lot of my different interviews that I've done. And seeing as how you're a therapist, I thought that this type of conversation would be right in your wheelhouse here. So I'm glad that you're here to make this happen with me. Just quickly, how has 2023 been for you in sort of a nutshell?
Yeah, it was good. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm really interested in if you're going to ask me about mental health and psychology, what it's like to get off the show or be on the show. Ask me. 2023 has been very good. I'm working a lot. I'm working a full-time job, a part-time private practice. I do have my own small practice providing therapy to my children. So I'm in a good place. Definitely, you know, career-wise, things are very well.
That's great to hear. And, you know, obviously, since we're talking about the career, I'm very curious because, like, when I spoke to you the first time, we obviously spoke about how TV was never in the cards for you in terms of like what you were seeking out. You were obviously sought after.
Yeah.
Was, you know, this line of like the field that you're in now, was that always something that you were interested to, or was this something you veered towards after getting off of television?
That's a great question. So my parents are both clinical psychologists. They met at Vanderbilt in graduate school. And then they had me, their only child. So I definitely grew up hearing, you know, psychological terms and terminology my whole life. It was a big part of our family unit and actually even the greater family too. I mean, I've got lots of doctors and teachers and other types of therapists and stuff like that in my family. So that was a very, that was just the type of work that I was, you know, most used to. So after the show, you know, I did move back to, well, I went back to Hollywood after Denver, and I did try Hollywood. I tried auditioning and all of that, but it became very clear that the only way I was ever going to get, you know, move up on the ladder there would have been to take my clothes off. So that wasn't an option. And then I met with, I remember I had gotten a pilot. I had gotten a role on a pilot for Showtime. And then I was at the table read and I read ahead and I saw that my character takes her top off. So I was like, yeah, this is not going to be for me. So I kind of like just swiftly changed career paths. I went and met very LA with my career coach. I think I told you the story last time. And he was like, you're too smart for this. You're too smart for Hollywood. You need to go get your master's in something. And I was like, okay. And then I thought about it and I realized, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So that's what I did. And it was a really tough transition in the beginning because it didn't feel very fun, right? I was used to a very fun lifestyle, being in Hollywood, auditioning, drinking, partying, getting attention. This is a totally different lifestyle I'm living. This is a lifestyle of service. It's about thinking of others instead of yourself. It's about being very honest with yourself while you're doing this work with others to find out, you know, what are my issues too and what do I still need to work on? So it's a totally different career path, but I think that it probably, no matter what my first career was, it probably would have wound up happening regardless. That's how I look at it.
That's an interesting sort of path that you took, and I kind of want to ask a couple follow-up questions, more so related to the Hollywood aspect when coming off the show, because yeah. I know that's a path that, especially, you know, during that time with the show, like the early to mid 2000s, like those casts, they would always kind of take like sort of similar paths. Like you'll go on your appearance tours and sort of see like what's out there. A lot of people would get into like, you know, either acting, potentially modeling, things of that nature. And along those journeys, from what they say, there tends to be like a lot of like almost parasocial, you know, relationships that you sort of see form along the way. Like you've got so many people like that just kind of cross in and out of your life. They're, you know, either like telling you things that you want to hear or just, so then you get like almost this false sense of reality, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you get what I mean? Like, so I guess the question that I want to ask you here is, do you feel that that first initial wave when getting off of your show was like good? Like, how did that either positively or negatively affect you, like mentally, yeah, emotionally?
Such a good question. I mean, so when I first got off the show, I think I was just had like a mix of emotions and feelings about it. In some ways I was sad to leave, but in other ways I was like, wow, look what I just accomplished. I just did The Real World on MTV. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of on top of the world when I first, you know, got off of the show, and I felt famous, and I loved all of that aspect of it. However, that was very short lived. I eventually just recognized that this is uncomfortable for me. I don't like, you know, being stopped in the airport. I don't like being interrupted at dinner. I mean, I was getting asked for autographs and, you know, pictures all the time. I couldn't live a normal life. Mm. And it really kind of helped me understand, well, not at the time, but looking back in hindsight, that, you know, I was a very anxious person and with high levels of social anxiety, and kind of neurodivergent, which is a term that we use a lot nowadays to describe kind of, you know, people who are not neurotypical. So it was really triggering after a while. It was a very triggering experience to be well known, to be recognized. I enjoyed it maybe around the perimeters of it, but not actually being front and center. Like, appearances were very uncomfortable for me. It was just really tough, if I'm being honest. Whereas I saw like Jen from the cast, like she was loving it, and Davis was loving it, and they were doing things to kind of extend that temporary fame. I wasn't. I certainly was not fully invested in that. It was just a little much for me in my system. There's a term, HSP, highly sensitive person. And of course, with all the work I've done since the show, in my new career, I've recognized that that's what I am, an HSP. Dr. Elaine Aaron coined that term. And that's just somebody that feels deeply, somebody who, you know, experiences like that, most HSPs would have probably left the show. Let's get real. So, and I tried to leave the show, by the way. People haven't talked about that much, but I did try after that argument with Jen that's been played so many times. But yeah, it's not that kind of thing. Reality TV is not a great thing to do if you have social anxiety and or are neurodivergent and or are an HSP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having all three. Yeah, no, but at the same time, I'm not sitting here and saying I regret it. I'm just being honest that at 23 years old, when I didn't really know myself and allow myself to get on that show, I didn't really know what I was signing up for.
Was that social anxiety that you're referring to? Was that something that existed before going on to the show, or was it something that kind of happened as a form of the show?
Yes, I had had, you know, social anxiety, depression were really the main things that I was dealing with. And I drank to deal with it. And I was drunk during my auditions. Mm-hmm. I was drunk throughout most of filming. I'm happy to report that it'll be 8 years of sobriety in May.
Oh, great.
Yep. Thank you. So I had to quit drinking. You know, I had a problem. I was covering up my anxiety with alcohol, which is what most addicts do. Mm-hmm. Some kind of substance. They use some kind of substance. And then now I'm, you know, working with folks that struggle with substance use disorder in my full-time job. And then my part-time job is, you know, my second.
We obviously just, you know, you just spoke sort of about like how the social aspect of it was for you when coming off the show. I know this is also an issue too, that a lot of cast members that I've spoken with, they speak about. They mm-hmm. said like watching themselves back is also really tough. Like, you know, you mentioned about like, you know, the Jen thing, for example, like if you were to watch that, like even today,
yeah.
How like, would you feel like any type of way, like, about that? Like, was it the watching back that contributed at all, or was it more so what you were dealing with like in your day-to-day life with meeting people, or was it both?
Yeah, sorry, there's a notification up there that I had to get rid of. So yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Obviously, seeing a video of you losing your ish on national TV is not going to be anybody's favorite video of them. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said that it never affected me. It definitely affected me. I was deeply humiliated by that for a long time. And I would say I probably still am. Mm-hmm. But I'm obviously also at the point that it doesn't bother me as much. And it doesn't really bother me hardly at all anymore. And I think that's just because it was so long ago. It was almost 20 years ago. I was 23. I was in a different place. I was not in recovery. I was not a professional at that point. I was, you know, practically a little girl. So in some ways, there was a very exploitative factor of that show, because it kind of, I think they knew that I had some issues, and they knew that I would probably be very good TV. And I think that that's what they were trying to accomplish in their casting. I think that that's also irresponsible, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
What did the online reception look like for you? Because social media wasn't as like permeant back then. However, MySpace was still technically a thing. So like, what did the online reception look like for you personally? And what part did that contribute in your post show experience?
Yeah. So, the online stuff, I would say it was both good and bad. It was both pleasant, complimentary, and just like horrifying. Mm. I mean, I would get emails, you know, stalker emails. I had a stalker that went to jail. Who, like
for you, or went to jail for a separate thing?
He did go to jail for stalking me. And that happened not even a year into the Real World, airing. So it happened pretty fast. And then, they had hacked into my social media. That was part of their harassment and stalking of me, put up other pictures that they had found in private files by hacking into my computer. I mean, it's just crazy, honestly, what I went through with that. It was traumatic, you know, and online people were pretty mean, you know, depending on, you know, which way they felt about how I was portrayed. You know, some people were like, "You're so crazy, yada yada," and of course I'm like, "Well, duh," you know. It's like, but I mean, nowadays it's like, that's not like a bad thing, like to have a few screws loose. It just means you're pretty much like, I don't know, probably 80% of the population or something. So I don't look at it as a bad thing now. But I also had just a lot of really like intensely complimentary kinds of folks that seemed almost like they thought that this was really cool, and just mm-hmm. really like, I have to do this too, like, how do I get on reality TV? And that actually is some of the parts that made me the most uncomfortable, because after a time, like after a few period, like a few years after the show, because it was like, y'all are trying to get famous, y'all want to get famous, y'all want to be on reality TV, you got to look up to better people than us. You know, you got to look up to, like, you know, people who are changing the world, people who are doing good things in the world, and not, you know, kind of being self-indulgent, you know, and all the things that we were just kind of talking about when we first started. I mean, so it, and those are all things, like everything I'm saying, those are all things that an HSP would say. Those are all things that an INFJ would say, which is my Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. It's just the way my mind works. Like, I'm very, like, existential and like to look at the big picture and the big effect of things. And because I'm like that, these kinds of things actually did bother me. I'm not able to just say, oh, that was an amazing experience. There were good things and bad things. Lots of shades of gray there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, characterize, like, your overall experience, like, in reality TV? Do you look at it, like, fondly, or do you look at it negatively, or do you try to find the happy balance?
Both. Absolutely both. 110% both. I mean, it was both things for me. You know, it was both a positive thing and a negative thing. I felt misportrayed in a lot of ways, kind of like my four worst moments were highlighted, but not my four best. I remember Trishelle saying that. And I thought that was such a wise way of kind of explaining what the show is like being on it. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably somewhere around, like, I don't know, 60% not so happy with it and 40% glad that I tried it. I mean, the good part about it is it was an experience. I mean, my God, like, I got to go on, you know, in that time, 2005, 2006, it was a huge, big deal to get on reality television. I was a, you know, actor model from Nashville, Tennessee, with hardly no experience in acting and modeling, but wanted to try it out. And I got this within 2 weeks of moving to LA. And I was filming this, you know, international TV show just a few months later. I mean, it's pretty, you know, what are the odds? So I look at it, and we got to travel, which was nice. Mm-hmm. So I look at it and, you know, my best friend is Davis, who was on the show. You know, we're still best friends. I mean, I saw him last week. So, I mean, I look at it in both good and bad. It is really the shades of gray that exists in between those two things. You know, it wasn't just good. It wasn't just bad. It was lots of shades of gray, which is actually DBT. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about dialectical behavioral therapy right now.
Yeah, no, I always, I'm glad you brought up about, like, the four worst moments, because I always say to, I've said in past, like, interviews of mine that there's, like, thousands of hours of footage that's compiled, but we're only seeing, like, weekly, like, an hour of that at most, usually. Yeah. So, like, typically, like, something said in, like, one particular moment could be put into, like, a certain spot, even if it has, like, not the same context, if that makes sense. But like, not everybody is, like, thinking that when watching an episode back, like, you know, on, like, your Wednesday night or whenever it is, like, some, you know, just casual person's just going to be sitting there seeing what they're seeing on screen, and then that's in their mind automatically going to be, like, their conclusion.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, to fair to the entertainment side, you know, and not just my opinion about it, that's the business, right? That's the reality TV entertainment business. So I guess the part where I feel like there was exploitation, irresponsibility, was just that how would a 23-year-old know those things at that point? They were literally children, just, you know, I don't know, 5 years prior. I'm bad at math. So, you know, but I also think it's like, if you're a fully consenting adult who understands, you know, what you're getting into, who understands, like, all the bad things that could occur from it, that, you know, you really have no one to blame in terms of, you know, your edit or, you know, whatever it is that they decide to do. You know what you're signing up for. I think for me, I just wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be an actor and a model. I thought this was going to be kind of a step towards that. And the idea of my business and my ish being put on for everybody to see was uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a thing too, is like a lot of people that I've spoke to, they said like acting in reality TV, like don't really like actor act like that. That like the acting genre, like they kind of look down upon folks that come from reality TV. Like,
yeah, it's not considered the same thing. I know I've had fans correct me on that when I've tried to say my first career was an actor model, and they're like, you're a reality TV person. There's this guy that's been following me for years on Instagram, and I put something like that a couple years ago, and he was like, you were just a reality TV person. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the trajectory you want to take, be on reality TV in order to get, you know, become an actor and, you know, actually get real famous type of thing. I mean, I knew I was taking that risk. You know, when I accepted to do the show, I knew I could have turned it down and waited for more, for better acting, actual acting, ventures. But I also thought, like, what the hey, it's the real world. I can't turn it down. So,
yeah, it's like winning, you know, a free vacation trip. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And we got that too. We got,
yeah, you got a vacation within a vacation.
Yes.
One that was being filmed for thousands of people.
Right, exactly.
So there was a, you know, a pro and a con. Yeah, so actually, something that I found interesting, and I've, you know, talked about this too, I'm not entirely certain what it's like these days, but I thought that the idea of sort of like an aftercare for cast members before exiting back into their normal day-to-day life coming off of the show might be beneficial. So like if somebody's, let's just say, like leaving the show, let's just say The Challenge, right? Somebody gets eliminated from The Challenge, instead of going back into normal 9-to-5, let's just say, like there's like maybe 5 days to a week of sort of like a bubble period where like they have some type of human interaction outside of the filming. That's not entirely their normal life yet, but it's like enough to just kind of acclimate them a little better.
I like that idea. I mean, I feel like that would probably be more responsible, kind of, I've been using that word, but just more responsible in terms of, you know, thinking about these people as actual people and who have lives and who have mental health and who deserve to be treated as such, right? So yeah, I think that would be a great idea.
What did that look like for you? We won't use real world, let's just say, for example, like what about like when you did The Challenges, when you came back from filming those, let's just say like, because they don't come out until like months down the line, like you often have like that waiting period where you get done filming before the show actually comes out.
Yeah.
What did those, if you could remember, sort of look like in terms of, like, was it like a tough transition back into like your normal routine, or were you able to kind of make that transition seamlessly? What did that look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think, like, you know, for reason, maybe because I didn't truly want to be there a lot of the time. I was like pretty happy to be back and able to just like get back to my regular life pretty easily and happily and not have to worry about a camera in my face when I wake up in the morning. So for me, that part was not problematic for me because I just don't think I should have been on reality TV. I mean, you know, I think I was just really relieved to not have to be film 24/7 anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you'd say like The Challenges were more like a slap on the wrist, sort of, with like, it was more so the real world stuff that you felt more affected by.
Yes. Oh yeah. Challenges were fine. I don't have any qualms about anything that really occurred. I mean, I'm sure I could come up with some if I really thought about it. I mean,
well, anybody could come up with anything, I'm sure.
But that's not, you know, that those two experiences, it was more just like, you know, a party to have a good time and, you know, hang out with a bunch of cool people and, you know, that kind of stuff, see a new country. You know, I don't feel like anything was just taken a little too much out of context. I felt like Real World was taken out of context quite a bit. I don't think that they, for whatever reason, they didn't decide to show the kind of the process I was going through of being left out by the two other girls on the Real World. Like, I was being chronically just ignored and left out, and they were doing their own thing, the other two girls on the show. So when I got angry, it looked like out of nowhere for no reason. They were not nice to me, you know, leading up to that experience. So
was that the main thing that you kind of didn't like, as far as like sort of how it was depicted? Was sort of just like you felt that you were coming across almost like aimlessly, like angry at stuff, but like we weren't actually seeing like what was causing that?
Exactly. Like, nobody understood that that was because for about a month leading up to that, I had nobody. Like, nobody would talk to me, is how it felt. I was, you know, fish out of water. The girls didn't really want anything to do with me. We would go to dinner and they would talk to each other and just ignore me the whole time. Mm-hmm. So, and I hate to bring that up because that happened 18, 19 years ago. But if I'm being honest, that is what prompted that event with Jen. And I had said some words to Coley prior to that thing with Jen as well.
Were you able to resolve those like issues off the show with them?
So what ended up happening after all of that mess went down is, you know, Jen and I basically got pretty close after that. Like, for some reason, I think that was just the way she needed to be communicated with in some ways.
Yeah.
I think that we both are like that in some ways. But with Coley, we just never got close. We never were close. There was never a period of time where we were closer. We just were oil and water, and that's normal. That happens, you know, when you're putting a bunch of different people in a house. But Jen and I, you know, we're still friendly now to this day. She's still somebody I'll, you know, say hi to every now and then, kind of thing, on socials. I have no issue with her. I have no issue with Cole either. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I unfortunately have to ask this because, you know,
okay,
just briefly, I wouldn't have to get bogged down on the details, but we spoke about like how the challenges. I'm sure through the grapevine, you know, you might have heard from Davis, let's just say, I'd assume, like, how they were doing, like, these, like, recent, you know, challenge reunions of sorts within the past couple of years. Like, were you ever contacted to do any of those?
Do you mean, like, the last few years? Like, what's been filming over the last few years? Like, that show?
Yeah, like, the past, you know, two, three years, like I think they call them the Challenge All-Star thing.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I've got a notification again. Let's see. I'm trying to think if I have been. I know he was. I think Mark sent me a text asking me about it, probably around like maybe 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even know if I wrote back. I feel bad. But, yeah, that was just not in the stars for me with what I do. You know, confidentiality is a huge thing, and, you know, making sure my patients feel safe with me is a huge thing. So I can't imagine, you know, how I would balance the two, going back to reality TV and being a therapist. I don't think most people would want their therapists on reality TV. So yeah, I try to be mindful of that and just, you know, there's still a part of me that loves the idea of entertaining, loves the idea of performing, but that would have to be in the form of like going and doing college speeches again, like I did in 2012 and 2009, like presidential campaigns, speaking, you know, to college students about that. Like I did a lot of that, and could go back to that. Like I could do speaking engagements anywhere, probably. although it would make me very nervous. But like, that's about all I could probably do. That doesn't mean that I don't wish I could do it, if I'm being honest. I mean, there's a part of me, if I'm being real with y'all, that I miss it a little bit. I do miss it a little bit, but not enough to go back on a show.
No, because I've spoken to like one other therapist who's previously done the real world as well. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember Sarah from Real World Brooklyn by any chance.
Yeah, I never got to meet her. Yeah,
she's also a therapist now too. She talked sort of about like there's a certain level of visibility that you need with, you know, your clients, because you know, typically when filming, like if you're there the entire time, that could be anywhere from up to 6 weeks, like 6 to 8 weeks. So like, you can't just kind of, as a therapist, it's very hard to like up and leave like your clients. Like there's a certain level of like, they like depend on you. So like, you know, for those wondering, like we're just, you know, like Brooke just said, like it's very hard to just up and leave your responsibilities for 6 days.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty full-time job. If I decided to go do a reality TV show, it's just, I'm in a profession that's pretty serious. Like, you know, it's dealing with people's lives and helping them survive from addiction and mental health issues. And it would just look very I can't think of the word, just, you know, it would not be something that I should do. Now, that doesn't mean though that like I saw a comedy show last weekend with Davis and his boyfriend, and I thought, oh my gosh, like I wish I could go back and do stuff like that, you know, because my world now is helping people. It's service. That's what it is, right? And so there is a part of me that's not getting fulfilled, you know, the creative side of me, it's not getting fulfilled. So there's a part of me that wishes I could find that in some capacity. But I think it would have to be in the form of speaking engagements, you know, not actually going on a TV show, unless the TV show wants to talk about, you know, serious topics that I know about, right? You know, in my field. So,
well, I mean, they were doing like right around the same time as like these all-star shows for the challenge. They were doing Real World Homecomings too, which were like, they were getting like past Real World seasons like with their cast and like bringing them back. I think they discontinued it though after only 3 seasons, but I like that. Like that's actually something I enjoyed.
That would be cool. I would consider that. That's a pretty like,
because they don't film for as long as the All-Star ones. I think it was only 2 weeks, I think, which is still like a decent amount of time away, but like not insane amount.
I would consider that, honestly. I would. I mean, I think that might be more doable. You know, it would depend on the length of filming. It would depend on like, how crazy is it going to get, you know, is it going to get really out of control? Because I can't be around that or want to be around that and want my patients to see that.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask, because we spoke about, you know, what the transition looked like, obviously, you know, we spoke about like with now the line of work that you're in, sort of like, you know, your image does matter a lot. So I'm kind of curious, when making that transition into the, you know, field that you're currently in, we talked about kind of how the, how it's hard to like go places without being stopped at one point. What did that transition look like for you getting into this line of field, having like the real world and reality background? Like, were you met with contention at first, or were you able to make the transition more seamlessly than you would have thought?
Such a good question. And I'm sad to admit that, yes, it was hard. I was met with contention. NYU, where I went to school, one of the ladies in charge called me in and said, you know, we've seen these clips of you on reality shows and you need to basically go around and apologize to all your professors for your past wrongdoings. And I was like,
wow.
Okay. So that was very unpleasant and judgmental is how I felt. I doubt that would happen now. That was back in 2009.
That's wait. So That's just like really hard to wrap my head, like my brain around, because like I'm just like thinking about it. It's like the professors, like what, how does this, like, I understand like with like a job, that's a different story, but like professors are getting paid no matter what, just to teach like people. Like how, I don't understand how, you know, what you did. Sorry, my cough is rearing its ugly head. No, I'm sorry.
But you're right, it's ridiculous.
No, like I don't understand how something that you did on TV like holds any bearing. Like they're on their payroll regardless. Like it's not like
you knew it.
It's not like what you did on TV is like, you know, affecting like their jobs in any way.
Right.
Like it's a different thing with like maybe the school itself, but even then, like, I mean, like people are just paying for an education. It's not like killed somebody, like,
no, right? It really did kind of feel like I had, though, or like been a stripper or something. It's like, geez, like the what's the word? Just the criticism from people around doing that show was really quite bizarre at times. And sometimes I just wonder, like, what is this about? Like, are they just jealous and wish they'd been on it? I've wondered that many times, but I didn't do it. I didn't, you know, do what she wanted me to do, going around and apologizing for something I'd done at 23. I think I just thought she was not a very nice person and just went about the rest of my day.
You know, the only thing I can chalk this up to is that she must have been a fan of Jen. I'm joking.
Maybe. Well, I mean, you never know why people, you know, do the things they do. You never know exactly what's going on in that person's mind that makes them, you know, do things like that and overreact. Because that's kind of how I look at it. It's just like an overreaction on her part. Also, what's weird is that I had put in my NYU grad school admissions essay that is what I had been doing. That I had been on reality TV and, you know, been on The Real World and was trying to start over, do something new. And so it's like, if y'all knew that, even based in the admissions essay and all the other paperwork, why is that a big deal all of a sudden in my internships? You know, the reason she had brought it up is that I think like an internship had known about it and, you know, didn't want me to do their internship, and they said why, and then that's when she got very upset. And I think that's what happened. It was also a very long time ago, so it's hard to remember. But I'd say now it's not as much of an issue. I think people, if they're a fan of the shows and they're curious, they could just simply Google me and see that stuff. But yeah, I mean, nobody's given me a hard time about it or, you know, anything like that. I think most people now, because so much time has passed, they think it was pretty cool. So
yeah, I think as the years go by, like, it things are probably going to age a lot better, and people are just going to tend to like kind of forget, because there's so much like other reality TV now, that, and like they discontinued Real World anyway.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's gonna come up less and less, I think. What does social media today look like for you in terms of stuff? I mean, you seem to like lay up rather low and kind of stay out of the line of fire for the most part. But like,
yes,
do you still run into some issues or?
Well, wait, what do you mean exactly?
Like, you know, either just people that are, well, not like, I don't know, like, let's just weird messages, like just anything of that nature in terms of people these days. Like, do you still feel
though, or
like, yeah, like,
okay. Yeah. I mean, so I get weird messages almost every day, if I'm being honest, Michael.
Like having to do with the show or just weird messages in general?
Just in general.
Okay. Well, I mean, that checks out.
No, I mean, and I am single anyway. Oh. Okay. So no, not anymore. I feel like everybody's kind of, you know, moved on. And I mean, I doubt I'm like super memorable to anybody unless they actually watch the show. I have noticed, though, it comes up sometimes in dating. Like, sometimes, you know, when I'm dating somebody, they'll be like, I'll bring it up, you know, after, I don't know, a few dates. And they'll be like, oh, my gosh, I watched you on that show. I can't believe it's you. And I'm sitting there wondering, did they really not know that it was me from the show? It makes me wonder, you know. So you never know.
Is that something you feel like you owe the person, or is that something that's subconscious that you kind of like, it just comes out? Like, why
I feel like it's a cool part of my history. And, you know, it also kind of explains some things in terms of just how I have kind of come full circle. And,
right,
you know, especially with like the work I do, working with people in recovery and stuff like that. I mean, that's definitely a big part of my story. It's kind of how I feel. It's a big portion of my story. So that's why I bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit different. In fact, I get kind of embarrassed when kind of having to talk about stuff I do. Like this, you know, like this is something I've been doing for over 3 years now. And like, you know, when I meet people, not even just dates, just like in general meeting people, like I don't like, you know, bringing it up. I'm kind of a, you know, show without tell type of guy. Like if they see it and want to ask me about it, I'll be glad to answer it. But I'm not like,
yeah,
like push it in front of them.
I don't. I feel like that's a good point. I mean, it depends on the person, really. Like, sometimes they'll bring it up before I can bring it up, you know? So it kind of just depends. Or if, like, this is a person that I feel like I'm going to want to get to know better, I'll probably be more likely to share about it. Or if I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a one-date thing or a two-date thing and we're not going to be hanging out again, then I probably won't jump into that because I don't really care if they get to know me or not.
Okay, That's probably a good mindset to have.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Well, listen, we've gotten this far into this without letting the people know probably the most, I'd say, fun fact out of all of this.
Oh, boy. What is this fun fact?
Not that Brooke's been on TV before. It's that she actually shares a birthday with me.
That's right. And I'm going to visit you.
Yep, that's happening, people. So you heard her first. You know, we'll hold her to it if it doesn't happen.
I can't wait to meet you in person.
Well, Brooke, this was a great chat. I'm glad we were able to do this. You know, you spoke sort of before about sort of like missing like that. What's the word you said? Like the
performing or.
Yeah, like just sort of like that. Yeah, like, so I'm hoping, like, with this conversation that at least, like, helped sort of fill that void in some sense.
Yeah, it did, actually. Like, I loved, like, I put on full face of makeup and tried to do my hair.
There we go.
It's not a wig. Did you say put my wig on?
No, I didn't say anything.
I thought you said put my wig on.
No, it must have been my cough. I think you must have... Just pardon my French. I'm getting over a cold.
Well, my hearing's not very good.
That's all right. Well, all right. Thank you again. This is a ton of fun.
And, yes, you know, it was.
I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you as well. Thanks for having me.
Of course.